Welcome to the Golden Hills Podcast Daily, where you can spend a few minutes each day with us to meditate on God's Word. Now, here's today's encouraging message.
Hi, my name is Denise Olson, and I'm the director of our Clinical Counseling Center here at Golden Hills. In today's Golden Hills Daily Podcast, the portion of scripture we're going to be focusing in on is John 13 and 14. There's so much in this section of scripture. One could probably take weeks or months or maybe even years to unearth all the richness in it. But for today, I'll kind of summarize what's going on in these chapters, and then we're going to focus in on a couple of verses in particular. John 13 and 14 is the setting of Jesus' Last Supper. He's with his disciples before he's going to go to the cross the next day. John 13, verse 4 and 5 says, "Jesus rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him." Well, as we know, when Jesus came to Peter to wash his feet, Peter resisted this action, and Jesus gently let Peter know that he wasn't really understanding what was going on. After Jesus completes the washing of their feet, he sits back down with them and starts talking to them about how right it was that they referred to him as Lord and teacher. And then he shared that the washing of their feet and his life was an example for them to follow. And then there's this somber shift in the conversation. Verse 21, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." And after Jesus said this, they're kind of all sitting there stunned. Verse 22 says, "The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he spoke." I kind of get this picture of them just kind of sitting there staring at each other like, "What?" Then in verse 25, they had one of the disciples ask, "Lord, who is it?" Then Jesus dips the bread in a drink and gave it to Judas. And at that point, it says in verse 27, "Satan entered into Judas, and Jesus said to him, 'What you are going to do, do quickly.'" Then Judas leaves. So after Judas leaves the scene, there's another shift that happens. Jesus drops this bombshell. He begins to talk about how he's not going to be with them much longer. In verse 36, Peter asks, "Lord, where are you going?" And Jesus answered him, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow afterward." Peter responds in verse 37, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I'd lay my life down for you." And at this point, Jesus looks at Peter and he breaks the devastating news that not only would Peter not be able to go with him right now, but that Peter would even deny him. And we know Peter refused to believe that could be true of him. But Jesus knew. Jesus knew that hard times were ahead for them, and that he knew things were that they didn't understand were coming, things that would be difficult for them was coming. And right after all of this hard news of betrayal, not being together anymore, talking of denial and hardships coming, their whole world was about to change and things would never be the same for them. Jesus then tells them in John 14:1, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." And he repeats it again in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you." And here it is. "Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." So twice Jesus tells them not to let their hearts be troubled. Wow. He just gives them all this difficult news and assures them, yep, difficulties are coming. And oh, by the way, I'm no longer going to be here with you. But let not your heart be troubled and don't be afraid. I don't know about you, but I've struggled with this first. How can he expect the disciples not to feel troubled after he just revealed that their whole world was about to change for them? They were stunned. How were they not supposed to be troubled? I read this verse and I wonder, is it wrong for me to have a troubled heart when our world is being impacted in such a profound way with this coronavirus is having a troubled heart sin. It doesn't seem realistic not to be feeling trouble at some level with all the concerns of health issues and not having a job and financial stresses, relationship distancing, and loss of activities and purpose. And I know with a verse like this, some of us can struggle with feeling like we're not good Christians if we are feeling troubled in our hearts, since we hear Scripture clearly telling us, don't feel troubled. The word trouble in John 14:1 is a Greek word that means to stir up or the agitation of something by a movement. It's also used to refer of an inward commotion, that disquieting that takes away the calmness of our minds. So this troubling or stirring up is kind of like dropping a rock in water. Things are impacted. The water moves around. It's stirred up. And this is a response to an event that happened. A rock dropping in the water, causing movement or action in the water. So for us, we have situations in our life that cause inward stirring or agitation, disquieting that happens in our hearts and minds that kind of takes away that calmness of our mind. And this is a normal response when a life event, like all the uncertainties about the impact of the coronavirus, happens in our life. Just like the disciples had life-changing events happening to them. It's a normal response when a rock or a situation is dropped into water or life. It stirs things up. This is not sin. It's a natural response God has given us. It gives us information that something's going on and we need to take notice. How can I say this when the verse clearly states, "Let not your heart be troubled"? Doesn't that sound like a command? Don't do it. Don't let your hearts be troubled. But things happen and it shows up. I feel troubled. Then I feel bad that I feel troubled. And then I feel more troubled that I feel bad about being troubled. And it just goes on and on. A few years ago, I was wrestling with feeling guilty for being troubled about a difficult situation I was in. Reading through the book of John, God seemed to highlight for me that word trouble. And I noticed there were actually several verses with the same word trouble in them that were in relation to Jesus. Let's look at them together. John 13:21. After he had said this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, "Very truly, I tell you, one of you is going to betray me." Then in John 12:27, Jesus is speaking and says, "Now is my heart troubled. And what shall I say, Father? Save me from this hour." And then in John 11:33, when Jesus saw Mary weeping, the Jews had come along with her were also weeping. He was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. This is the same word for trouble that we find in John 14:1. So since Jesus experienced a troubled heart, it must not be sin. The question isn't whether we feel troubled. It's what we do when we're experiencing that troubledness in our heart, that stirring up that happens. What John 14:1 is showing us is when we notice the troubledness in our hearts, it's important that we look at the next part of the verse. John 14:1, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." This is saying not to lose sight of our belief in God and his truths when we have that rock or boulder, like a coronavirus, dropped into our world. Not to stay focused on the circumstances that we see, but rather focus on the one who is above all and has promised never to leave us or forsake us. This is how Jesus didn't allow trouble to settle in his heart. He turned to the Father. Jesus tells us in John 14:26, "The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." And so, when I feel troubled in my heart, I ask him to remind me of his faithfulness, remind me that he's in control. I ask him to help me to hold on to his truths. John 14:27 says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." So let's not be afraid to notice if we are troubled. It is a God-given feeling, letting us know that we are being impacted by circumstances. And hopefully, we can learn to use those feelings as a signal for us to turn to God, to be strengthened in our belief of God, as we ask God to remind us of His truths and not looking to ourselves for strength and peace. I'd like to close with a prayer for you. Romans 5:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Amen.
We hope today's episode was a blessing to you. Please make sure to subscribe to the Golden Hills Podcast in your favorite podcast app, like Spotify, Google Play, or Apple Podcasts. And of course, you can always find us on the web at www.goldenhills.org. We hope you'll visit with us again tomorrow.